All right, gonna begin with a bit of crowd participation, all right? So get that hand and arm ready to be raised. Hands up if you have ever felt pressure to conform to what others think and what others trust in. All right, pretty widespread, all right. Let's get specific now to Christians. So someone who trusts in Jesus, that his death was for your sin and that he's risen from the dead as the Lord of your life, hands up if you felt pressure to change your beliefs or your behaviour from others. Okay. Next one for everyone. Hands up if you felt pressure to protect yourself, maybe your job, maybe your kids, maybe your reputation, because you think differently or trust in different things to other people. So hands up if you felt pressure to protect yourself. All right. Again, let's get specific there for Christians. If you felt the pressure to hide in order to protect yourself, hide your beliefs or your behaviours that are particularly Christian. All right. Look, pretty strong representations of hands there. I'm not going to be asking you to put up your hand if you have changed or you have hidden. But I will confess that I have. Not proud of it, but I have. I'd be surprised, given the number of hands, that I'm the only one. That's why this passage today is so good, so helpful, so important for us. Because God is going to talk to us about having strong hands when we feel the pressure. Strong hands as kingdom builders. In fact, this is the message from God for us today to take home with us. That God provides the strength we need to keep building when we're under pressure. God will provide the strength that we need to keep building no matter the pressure we're under. We've been working through the book of Nehemiah and thinking about this idea, this theme of being kingdom builders. And sure, the wall has been a central kind of theme coming through that, but it's about so much more than a wall, isn't it? In chapter 3, we kind of got the spoiler alert of, hey, it was done. And then the rest of the book is really about the story behind that, the hearts at work. It's about the people. It's about kingdom building, is about building relationships. It's about building a church community. And it's about building character. That's what we're talking about when we talk about kingdom building. And so today we're looking at having strong hands as kingdom builders. So I'm going to look at it in three different points, so you know where we're going. The first one is the pressure to conform. The second one is the pressure to protect. And the third one is the strength provider. So let's pray that we'd hear God speak to us from this passage today. Heavenly Father, we come before you today because we feel the pressure to change or to hide our beliefs and behaviours as Christians. We need you to strengthen our hands to build, not to change our circumstances. And so we ask today that you would equip and encourage us as kingdom builders by your Holy Spirit and through your word today. In Jesus' mighty name we ask. Amen. We come to chapter 6, Nehemiah, and it's really clear that there is a pressure to conform. The pressure to conform. The Israelites, as they're in the city of Jerusalem, they are surrounded by enemies. The villains of the story, Nehemiah, we've met them before, Sanballat, Tobiah and Geshem. They're all around. But it's not even just them. We read in those verses and Nehemiah says, and the rest. There's a real sense of pressure and enemies outside closing in. But that's because all the gaps have been closed. The wall, this incredible feat, is almost done. And there's a sense of shock by the enemies. They can't believe it's happened. As we read in verse 15, 52 days is all it took. I think they've kind of been caught. And they can see quite literally as the doors are about to go on, the gates, that their opportunity to stop the building is closing. And so they've got to act. And Nehemiah tells us that in verse 2 that Sanballat and Geshem sent me this message. Come, let us meet together in one of the villages on the plain of Ono. Chapter 6 has a number of plots, more plots than a BBC drama, are at work here. And so the first one is distraction from the building. How can we distract them? They want Nehemiah to lose 3 days journeying out to the plains of Ono. And let's face it, what a name. That kind of spells what's really going, oh no, it's not going to end well if he goes there, right? And so I love the fact that Nehemiah shows us, as he has been again and again, how to respond. How to respond to the pressure to conform, firstly. Nehemiah sees through it. He says, verse 2, but they were scheming to harm me. So I sent messengers to them with this reply, I am carrying on a great project and cannot go down. Why should the work stop while I leave it and go down to you? In case you hadn't noticed, I've got a great project going on. Just really rub it in them. He points to there is nothing more important than kingdom building. He doesn't rail against them. He doesn't accuse them or insult them. It's a great way to respond when we're feeling this, to actually say and to communicate, no, we have a much greater project or important work to be on. But the pressure builds. 4 times they send this message, hoping to wear him down. And I think we can relate, can't we, that those messages that keep coming and you're feeling worn down by them. And not only that, I'm sure that in the midst of all this, they're telling everybody, oh, we want to keep meeting. We want to talk this through, but he's so difficult. He's so full of himself. He's not willing to come down and talk with us. They're trying to distract him from the building by the plots. I've been worried about what are they going to do to me, but also by the perception that they're trying to wield against Nehemiah. Well, that's plot one. Now we come to plot two, which is damage his reputation. Plot one didn't work, so let's go for his reputation. The fifth time, we read verse 5, then the fifth time Sanballat sent his aide to me with the same message, and in his hand was an unsealed letter. What they mean by this unsealed letter is like they took out a bit of the paper and they put an open letter, you know, an open letters in the paper, which is somebody puts it out there. That's what he's saying. This unsealed letter has been passed around for everybody to read. And what a letter. It's accusing Nehemiah of being a rebel king. Now, this is exactly what stopped the building last time. You can read about that in the book of Ezra. They know what they're doing. This is red flag kind of language. Because what it'll mean is, well, they think the king will either recall Nehemiah, and so the work will stop and the people will be vulnerable, or even, if the king Artaxerxes is worried enough, he will send an army to crush this rebellion. It's all about stopping the kingdom being built. Will Nehemiah doubt God's ability to protect him? Will he think, oh no, the people, they might leave. And certainly the people are going to start getting worried. How can Nehemiah do this? It's all about damaging his reputation, even with the king that he has a good relationship with. We read in verse 9, they were all trying to frighten us. And this is the quote, their hands will get too weak for the work and it will not be completed. See this connection between a strong heart and strong hands? If they fear in their heart, if their hearts melt, then they will have weak hands. They know. What we need to know, what Nehemiah knew, is you need strong hands as kingdom builders when the pressure builds, when the pressure to conform is at work. So Nehemiah pushes back. He says, firstly, you're making it up out of your own head. But that's not it. He doesn't just kind of stamp around raging. No, Nehemiah, who knows God's word, therefore he knows God's will, and so he can pray. Ever wondered you're in a situation and you don't know what to pray? Well, often what we need to do is know God's word. The more we know that, the more we'll know his will, the more we'll know what to pray. And boy, does Nehemiah know what to pray. It's another one of those arrow prayers like earlier. Now strengthen my hands. That's it. That's all he says. But that's not because that's all he can think of. No, it's actually because Nehemiah knows Isaiah, the prophet writing over 300 years before him, wrote these words in chapter 35, verse 3, strengthen the feeble hands, steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong. Do not fear, your God will come. He will come with vengeance, with divine retribution. He will come to save you. That's why all he needs to do is say, now strengthen my hands, because he knows God's word, so he knows God's will, so he knows what to pray. And what a prayer. And I think, again, we see the realness of Nehemiah. There's an urgency here. He's not going, yep, got it. He's actually saying, God, now, I need this now. Strengthen my hands to keep on building. Nehemiah doesn't pray for success. Did you notice that? Prays for strong hands. It doesn't change for the ask for the circumstances to be changed. No, he asks that he will be changed by God. Give me the courage to keep building. Nehemiah knew what we need to know, that we don't do this in our own strength. We can't. And we don't have to. We're not meant to. Kingdom builders pray when there's the pressure to conform. It's the difference between being a thermostat or a thermometer. Thermostat, we're all kind of probably using these at the moment to get the heating working. The thermostat controls the environment, the temperature of the room. The thermometer, it just responds and reacts and conforms to the temperature in the room. Kingdom builders, we are to be thermostats, not thermometers. We are to set the temperature, not be conforming and changed by the temperature of the culture around us. Are we thermostats or are we thermometers? I've felt that pressure at different times, whether that be my job as a Sparky or whether even just playing basketball on the team that I was on for a number of years in Shell Harbour. Those conversations that you walk up to that immediately stop, or those invitations to things that you didn't hear about, or even a bit of ribbing when I was inviting them to various church events. It's in those moments we've got to remember what Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 9. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. We might follow, oh, hate, that's a bit strong, but it couldn't just be that isolating. It can be that pressure, that subtle pressure to conform. That's all the things that Jesus is talking about. Kingdom builders know and experience that pressure to conform. Whether that may be at work, where other people are focused on, this is our rights, this is what we should get out of it. As opposed to a Christian who says, no, I need to serve faithfully because then I serve the Lord. Or as our culture has very different understandings to the Bible in terms of sexuality and gender. There is such pressure to conform. Even families, in terms of family life, conforming to the culture of making sure your family is comfortable and that there's quality of life. That your kids get to do every single activity, even if that means not doing Christian things. There's always that pressure to conform, let alone when it comes to our message as Christians. We have good and bad news of eternal life. The news that Jesus died because we sin. That's the bad news. We don't like that. But the good news is that Jesus died to take the punishment for our sins so that we can be forgiven and have eternal life with him. But our world will pressure us to say, no, that's intolerant. That's exclusive. No, no, no. It's okay if it's optional. If it's a lifestyle choice, there'll be the pressure to conform. That's why we need strong hands as kingdom builders. Well, things only get worse, as they often do in Nehemiah, for Nehemiah, because then there's the pressure to protect. The pressure to protect from the inside. And this is, I think, why it's worse. It's actually from God's own people, or within at least. Plot number three is Shemaiah, the son of Deliah. He is an Israelite. He lives amongst God's people. We're told in the NIV that he is shut in. ESV, or the other translation like the ESV, says he is confined. We don't really know what's going on with Shemaiah. It could be that it's a legal thing. It could be a health thing. It could be a religious thing in that he is unclean. But at the same time, how is he free then to go to the temple as he proposes? In the end, I think what we're meant to get is he's a shady guy, which is kind of brought out in the story. Because his message is, save yourself. Look out for yourself. Have a look at it. Verse 10. Let us meet in the house of God inside the temple, and let us close the temple doors, because men are coming to kill you. By night, they are coming to kill you. It sounds so reasonable. It sounds like he's actually concerned for Nehemiah, doesn't it? And then he says, look, God will want to protect you. Let's go to God's place. I mean, God wants to protect you, right? Surely. Go there. And there's a sense of urgency. No time to think. You just got to do it. You know the old expression, do it and ask for forgiveness later. You know, just do it. Verse 11, but I said, should a man like me run away? Or should one like me go into the temple to save his life? I will not go. Nehemiah again shows us how to respond when there's that pressure from within God's people. Firstly, he says, a man like me, he's talking about being a leader. It's not right for him to run away and hide. He is a leader that must model for people trusting in God for his protection, so that the other people will trust that God will protect them too. But it's not just about him as a leader, it's also about his standing with God. He is not a priest. And so when he says, should one like me go into the temple, he's not supposed to go into that place. Shemaiah is saying, it's okay to disobey God because God loves you. I'm sure we've all heard very similar things. It's okay, God loves you. Verse 13, we see Nehemiah say, he had been hired to intimidate me so that I would commit a sin by doing this, and then they would give me a bad name to discredit me. See, Nehemiah knows that this is not right because it is disobeying God. And disobeying God is always a sin, no matter whether it's about protecting ourselves. And then he prays. That's his response. He hands them over to God. Again, he doesn't ask for the circumstances to be changed. He doesn't tell God the outcome that he should deliver. He knows it's wrong. And so he prays. There is such pressure on Nehemiah from within, not just from that plot, but even from the prophetess Noadiah. And then verses 18 and 19, we're told that some of the people within Israel are even loyal to Tobiah, one of the enemies. They keep telling him all those good things. Can you imagine how much that would have grated on Nehemiah? And it's all to intimidate him, to wear him down, that pressure to protect himself, even his own reputation from within. And as kingdom builders today, we need to hear the warning of Nehemiah 6 about the pressure that come from within. But not just Nehemiah, from Jesus. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus is showing us that he's not surprised by this happening, and he knows that we will need strong hands too. He says in chapter 7, verse 15, watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. And as the picture shows, it's subtle. You're not always going to see it until possibly it's too late. We need to be alert. John Bunyan, many of you might know of him. If you haven't read, you've probably heard of Pilgrim's Progress. What you may not know is that John, at the very least, began to write that book in prison. John Bunyan was arrested for preaching. He was preaching outside of a Church of England church, and the religious and civil authorities were clamping down on it. They'd written laws that was not allowed because they wanted to dictate what was preached. But John Bunyan refused, and so he was arrested having preached at a gathering. Now, the typical sentence for that was 3 months in jail. Bunyan spent 12 years in prison. He could have at any time left if he just agreed to stop preaching. He refused. What that meant was, for those 12 years, his wife Elizabeth, along with their four children, one of them blind, had to live without him and depend on others, other Christians, to provide for them. The incredible pressure to protect himself and his family. But he refused. He was alert. He had strong hands. We need to be alert, because there is a constant challenge to the authority of the Bible, even from within the church. A challenge or pressure to change the Bible, to make it a little bit more acceptable. And it's okay, because we're just protecting ourselves, is the message. That's one of the key things, I think, to learn from Nehemiah, is this pressure to protect our reputation. Often, it even comes with a kind of idea of being couched in, we're protecting God's reputation. Oh, we're just turning so many people off Christianity by saying that or doing that. Or it can be even be our own reputation with family and friends. We don't want to be seen as that holier-than-thou person or that hardliner. But when we know God's word, we will know God's will. And even in those situations when there's pressure to protect ourselves from within, we will know the right thing, the right way to go, to hold on to the truth of God's word, not to protect ourselves. And we'll be able to do it because we've been given strong hands as kingdom builders. And there's just a quick kind of note on this that I just think it's really helpful to remember that people are watching. Nehemiah knew that people are going to be watching. People are going to watch us as kingdom builders, firstly in your home. You will know that your kids and even your grandkids, man, do they watch you. They pick up on stuff all the time. And they're watching to see, are you protecting, are you giving in to the pressure to protect yourself? Or are you living with strong hands as a kingdom builder? And even within our own church, we're rightly watching and listening to one another. Are we seeing and hearing that we're living with open Bibles, listening, knowing God, the word, and knowing it and that will, and living it out and praying it? We need strong hands when we face the pressure to protect ourselves. But it's also so important that we remember that this is only possible because God is the strength provider. God is the strength provider. Like Nehemiah knew, we don't do this in ourselves. It's not like, yeah, we got this. No, we look to the strength provider that we need. 52 days it took them to rebuild that wall. A wall that is 9 foot wide, 12 foot high. Now, they're not starting from scratch, but still, this is a massive work. Only God could do that. And even the enemies see that. Look at verse 16 with me. Verse 16. When all our enemies heard about this, that it was done in 52 days, all the surrounding nations were afraid and lost their self-confidence because they realized that this work had been done with the help of our God. See that? Those who are putting the pressure to bear, they see it. Sometimes they see it and know it even better than we do. Sometimes they can't necessarily articulate it, but they're reacting because they have a fear. As they see the kingdom built, they are confronted with the power of God and the strength that he gives his people when they don't buckle to the pressure. God wants to give us strong hands as kingdom builders, especially when we're under pressure. And how do we do that? Well, we pray, just like Nehemiah did. Verse 9, now strengthen my hands. It's so important that we see from Nehemiah that prayer is so crucial to kingdom building. As Psalm 127, verse 1 to 2 says, unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. If we are not praying, then we will not have the strength to build the kingdom, and it will not happen. You see, too often we think, oh, it's going to be this program. If we do that, that's what will suddenly bring people. Or if we have the right people or enough people, that's what will do it. No, it's prayer. It always has been prayer. Because that's the way that God strengthens our hands for the kingdom building that he's called us to. And he will strengthen our hands. We can have the same confidence Nehemiah had. One of my favorite verses each week that I pray through is Psalm 18, verse 1. I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. I think when I read that, I love the Lord, my strength. He can say, I love you, because God has delivered that. God is the one strengthening his hands. And God is the rock that he stands on, the fortress that protects him, and the deliverer that sends out the army to fight for him. And we will be able to say from our own souls, Psalm 18, when we pray, and God strengthens our hands. He is our strength. In 1940, the Nazi Germany army surged across Western Europe. And what ended up, as you might know, is over 335,000 soldiers were trapped on the beaches of Dunkirk. There was such a shortage of boats to rescue them that they became pretty convinced that only a small fraction of those soldiers would even survive. And so the most remarkable thing happened. King George VI called for a national day of prayer. This is one of those small facts that kind of seems to get lost in the Dunkirk story, that the king actually called for a national day of prayer on the May 24th, which is the date for tomorrow, 81 years ago. This is what the king said. Let us with one heart and soul, humbly but confidently, commit our cause to God and ask his aid. And they prayed right across England. And God answered with the miracle of Dunkirk. That's what it came to be known, the miracle of Dunkirk, which was firstly that Hitler stopped advancing with his troops, and historians still don't know why. That the English Channel, notorious for being choppy, the 40 kilometres of it, was strangely calm. That 860 boats were provided, many of them private ferries or yachts, privately owned, and that hundreds and hundreds of men volunteered themselves to row boats from the big ships, to row lifeboats into the shore when the shallow spot, load up soldiers through mines and aircraft attack, and bring them back again and again so that 335,000 soldiers could be rescued. That's the miracle of Dunkirk, because God's people raised their hands in prayer. And God strengthened those hands. God was the strength provider, and God will do the same for us when we raise our hands in prayer. He will strengthen us so that many more than those 335,000 soldiers will be rescued through the gospel as with strong hands we build the kingdom. Because kingdom builders need strong hands. And God provides the strength we need to keep building when we're under pressure. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us to fix our eyes on Jesus when we're feeling the pressure to conform or to protect ourselves. Help us to fix our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of your throne. When our hands are weak, let us consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that we will not grow weary and lose heart. And so that instead of giving in to the pressure to conform or protect ourselves, we will have strong hands to build your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.